We've been learning Yevamos for the last more than 3 months. The last week, the dafim, the last seven dafim that we've been learning, six dafim, are speaking about not Yibum, but rather Chalitza. The nitty-gritty of the Bepoyo, how actually is the act of Chalitza done? Chalitza is a mitzvah saseh, which is required in order to allow the Yevamah to get married after her husband died without children, leaving over a brother. Till now we were learning mostly that there's a possibility of what's called leveret marriage yibum. Bizmanenu, that kemat is never done. Everybody remembers in the Aflama test there was a machloikis abishol and the chachomim if mitzvahs yibum is koidim or mitzvahs chalitza is koidim. There are more paskins that mitzvahs chalitza is koidim. So Kilas Ashkenazim will always, whenever there's such a sad occurrence as somebody dying without children, they will always be doing Chalitza. And even though the Mechaber paskins that Mitzvah Yibum is Kaidim, in Kim'at all instances, even by the Kilas of the Sfardim, when this happens, Chalitza is actually done. It's obviously beyond the scope of this year to discuss the Inyonim, what goes on when a Chalitza is being done, but from the Psukim and from we see, that it's an act of the Yevamah showing Ki'ilu her displeasure, or the Bezdin showing his displeasure with the fact that he is not fulfilling his obligation, his responsibilities, and he is therefore, we're on a certain level, embarrassing him, taking off his shoe, even she's spitting on the ground in front of him, certain level of embarrassment. To be politically correct, I have to give this Hakdama, because for some reason which I can't fathom, some people seem to think that this is an embarrassment to the woman. A little bit of reading comprehension would be clear that if anything, there's an element over here, like the Medrash, it says that he should be cholutz kemenuda, he should be cholutz ka'ovel, which shows that if anything, we're showing our displeasure with him. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. It can start from the beginning of the parak. Okay. So the parak started off mitzvahs. What I would like to do is I would like to go through the actual Seder Chalitza. As a synopsis of this entire parak, so already in the times of the Rishonim, when they finished being mefarish, the Inyan of Chalitza, they would write a short Seder Chalitza. Today, when Chalitza comes up in Kemar, all the Batei Adin, they use a Seder Chalitza, which was written by the Maram a short while after the Tkufa of the Ramah. The Beis Yosef himself in Shulchan Aruch wrote a Seder Chalitza. We use, generally, most Batei Din will use a Seder Chalitza from the Maram. So we'll go through the Inyonim of the Seder Chalitza as it develops through the parak that we learned. Okay. First, the parak started off, Mitzvahs Chalitza, Bishleisha Dayanim. Bizmanenu, Chalitza, is kim'at the only case where dayonim are required li'ikuva. Even though we're familiar with dayonim, rabbinical judges, in a get, in theory it's possible to give a get without dayonim. In theory it's possible even if both tzedadim accept on themselves one judge for a din Torah, you don't need three dayonim there either. The only case where you need bizmanenu dayonim li'ikuva, if there's no dayonim, it's no chalitza. We learned then the Mishnah, if you can be chaylitz bein ele bein atzmei, but for sure, la'alocha, you need three dayonim. So, what do we take? We take three dayonim, we take that are not, we take talmidei chachamim, even though the din is even hedyotes, we take dayonim that we learned in dafkof aleph amud beis, when we check for the dayonim, we check to make sure that they can see. A dayan who is blind in two eyes is possible, even though in for a Chayshah Mishpat, or maybe for the Bezdin, it wouldn't be possible. But here, technically, he has to see the Reik, which we learned a few days ago, that as the spit, she spits in front of the Yavam, the Dayanim have to see that spit. So if he can't see, there's a Machlokes here. Tosis says that therefore it's enough if he sees in one eye. The Rav Yoh paskins that he has to see in two eyes, because he learns the Maskamas HaGemara Le'enei HaDayanim, which Pashtus the Gemara knocks it off that it's not needed Likuva, but the Rav Yoh paskins that it's Likuva, and that's why in Seder I get that when he goes through, he says, okay, you're picking now Dayonim. So he says, Lo yehei echad medan Dayonim suma afilu be'echad me'enav. When we pick Dayonim bizmanenu, for Chalitza, we pick five Dayonim. That's slow. The halacha is not, like Rav Yehuda, that you need chamisha li'ikuva. But we still pick five. This is a big mavucha in the Rishonim, and what's the reason for that five? The simplest explanation is because besides three dayanim, we also want two more people who can act as edim in order to be mefarsing that a chalitza was actually done. Because, as opposed to a get, where she walks out of the bezdin with a shtar, she has the proof that she was nisgarish. By chalitza, there's no shtar chalitza bizmanenu written, so we want to make sure that it's properly mefarsim. In fact, the minig is that there are 10 people based on a Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, the chalitza is done with a minyan. But that's for sure not ma'akev. But for sure, we want to have five. So the way we set it up is we have three dayanim, and we have another two dayanim sitting at a right angle to them, to the three dayanim. That's the way it's set up. We have three and two. Those two are called the neisafim. The question arises, can the neisafim in a pinch be used instead of the dayanim if one of the dayanim didn't see the roik, for instance, but one of the neisafim did? Can he be used as a bim kohen? It's a big discussion in the achrayim. But that's the din. We do three and two, and we set up the two not on parallel with the three, so that you shouldn't think that we're actually paskening like Rav Yehuda that mitzvah chalitza is b'chamisha. Okay, so that's what we do. And the minhag is that all five, we want to make sure that they don't have any mum, they see in both eyes. Interestingly enough, it says in Sefer Chalitza that they also v'lo yehebei shum mum. Not only shouldn't they be blind, but they shouldn't be missing it. Rahman al-Tzadah, arm or limping. Where does this come from? So the Chassam Sofer mutchitzach on this, and his maskana is because in this case, being that, like we said, this is the only case where there's dayanim likuva, the Heri Yibana Migdash will have a bezdin of Chaf Gimel. Those dayanim, the pasuk was said on them, kulach yofa rayosi umum ein bach. So there's a silsul in the dayanim of Chlitza today that they should be ki'ilu, even physically, on the level of the dayanim of the Chav Gimel, that they shouldn't even have a mum. And I've seen it once in one of the Zikni Arabonim, they suggested a certain person to use it from the Nesafim, and he looks at him and he mumbles to his colleague, I saw later that person was limited mobility in one arm. So he said, maybe it's a mum, I'd rather, you know, if we have other Talmid Chacham, I'd rather use others. And the Yehuda says that if he's a dying Kavua Bahir, you should take him, because to be Mevazah him is worse than this Chumra of Kulach Yafa Rayasi. But it's brought down in Sefer Chalitza that the dayanim shouldn't have any more. And that's the minhag that lechatchila, when we're setting it up, we pick five people that don't have any more. Okay. So we did that. We picked five. The three have to be Talmidei Chachamim. It's interesting that some Sefer says, he says, you know, by the Neisafim, being that they could be non-Talmidei Chachamim, so we can take the three, needs to be Talmidei Chachamim Likuva, the Neisafim, just it's enough if they know how to read. So we can take somebody who's not a Balmum, because anyway we don't need a Talmud Chacham. Put a 3 day on him if it's a question of a non-Talmud Chacham, then go with a Talmud Chacham, even if he's a Balmum. But for the Neisafim, you can take it. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, the Dayanim can't be Kroivim to each other or to the Yavim. That's Ma'akev, a Dayan who's related to the person on whom he's asking, some of the Dayan. So that also says that we make sure that they are not related to each other. And being that the dayanim here is likuva, so they shouldn't be nichshel in any aveira. The dayanim are generally mahar her b'tshuva in case they have any chance did any aveira, to make sure that they wouldn't pass or they wouldn't be possible of dun. Because, like we said, in the din Torah, in Mominus, the regulat, the two sides signed and accepted these three dayanim, even if in fact one of them was over an aveira, doesn't pass the din Torah, because you signed that you accepted him. In chalitza, it will pass. So that's that. Okay, so we've set mitzvah chalitza b'shloisha, dayanim, we've got three dayanim, we have the two neisafim. Now what do we do? Oh, this I forgot to say, very important, this the Gemara also says, that he can't be a ger. The dayanim can't be mizera ger, he has to be mizera Yisrael, son tosim alecha melech, the Gemara in Kuf Aleph and Kuf Beis, and has to be achei ovavi imoy be Yisrael. Meaning if either his father or his mother were gerim, also he shouldn't be a dayan. That's what we're makbid on that also. Okay. Now, besides dayanim, we also need a bezdin. Like the Pasuk says, va'olso yevim peyashayra. A shar bezdin. If the bezdin has a mokoim kavua, matoy v'manoy. Even if, however, the Beis Din doesn't have a Mokum Kavua today, in many cities there isn't a Mokum Kavua for the Beis Din, but we can actually set up a Mokum Kavua for Beis Din by actually sitting down and being Kavei a Mokum for the Chlitza. The minig is that even if the Beis Din has a Mokum Kavua that it sits in always, and even if the Dayanim always sit there, we will always do the Chlitza in a place which was set up before as the Mokoim Kviyas for the Chlitza. That's standard procedure. It should be done the day before, or that day. The Minig HaPoshut is Bayoim Shalifnei Achlitza. We look for a suitable place, a Mokoim Afursim. The Minig was a mall that it was done B'goiva, Beis HaKnesses, the highest shul in town, to create a Pirsim like we spoke before, and you Kaveh a Mokoim. So, generally, you'll do it in, like we said, in a shul. You'll sit down, the three dayanim and the nesafim, they will sit down the day before between Mincha Ma'ariv, and they say, we're being Kaveya Mokum here for the Chlitza tomorrow of Reuven and Rachel, whoever they might be. In extremis, the Poiskim have cases where the Yavam wasn't mobile, hospitalized even, or bedridden, things like that. So it's acceptable. As a tshuva in the Pachad Yitzchak brings it down, if the Yavama is not willing, she never goes out into the street, she's just a tznua. So they were matir to make it, the tziv has a tshuva about it, to be matir to make it in the house of a friend. Don't make it in her house, because she is supposed to come to Beis Din to be tevel chlitza, like we learned in the pasuk. For also yavimta ashayra. So even if we can't get ashayra, the shahar Beis Din, at least let's have a kiyum of also yavimta. So she comes up to that house of a shochan, that kaveh over there, the day before the Kviyas Mokum, and then the next day they make the Chlitza. That's the standard procedure. Okay, so we have all five Dayanim there the day before, and they're Kaveya. If one of the Dayanim after the Kviyas Mokum can't make it, so Lechatchila, we do another Kviyas Mokum, we Mavatel the Chlitza. Let's say on Monday they were Kaveya Mokum for Tuesday. We don't, and rather we do again Tuesday with the new group, whoever they are, for Wednesday. In extremis, there are precedents of allowing if just one of the people that couldn't make it was one of the Nesafim, and it was necessary that Yavam was traveling with Chutz La'ir, etc., they would allow the Chlitza to be done by Rehan. Okay. Now, we have Dayanim, and we have a Mokum. Good. Who's the Yavam? So in a case where there's only one brother left over, it's not a question. What happens if there are several brothers? There was the brother that was Nifter, and he left over several brothers. Who do we pick as the Yavam? So that's not directly discussed in this parak. That everybody remembers. The Ikar Sugi is in the fourth parak. The Gemara says, Mitzvah begodoil liyavim. And if he's not liyavim, Reuven Kulam of the Rishayim hold that also in Chlitza there's a mitzvah begodoil. The oldest. Not the oldest in the sense, like in Hilchos Pchayreis, the firstborn, out of the oldest of the remaining brothers. Even if he's from a different wife, it has no significance. It's ach min ho'av. There's no yichus in an ach that's min ho'av and min ho'aim over just an ach min ho'av. It's a tshuva nachrayim, but that's halacha psuka that there's no ma'ilo. So the oldest available remaining brother is the one who does it. What are going to be the exceptions? So a simple exception is where he's not interested. Beis Din today doesn't, you know, learned in this week's parasha, Shoyftim v'Shoytrim. Beis Din today, in our Seskitari Halavai, they should have the strength of Shoyftim. They definitely do not have any Shoytrim. They don't have any police to enforce their decisions. So if a brother, the oldest brother is available but not interested, we can't force him. It's his mitzvah, he doesn't want. We go to the next brother. And then on so down the line. That's the simplest case. Let's say, however, they're all interested. So, there are several exceptions. Let's just give some examples. One example is, the Poskim talk about the Ramah, Shainim. What happens if one of the brothers is a mumer? Now, in the Rishainim, the expression of mumer usually meant somebody who left the fold completely. So there, Fakir, if there's another brother, we would rather he shouldn't be Miyadim. We would rather use the other brother. The question is, Bismanenu, where you have people of different levels of mitzvah observance. So even a person who's not a shomer Torah mitzvahs is acceptable 100% for yibum and for chalitza. Afal pikein, this comes a question among dayanim, when this issue comes, when there's an older brother who's not a shomer Torah mitzvahs and a younger one who is, sometimes the rabbanim will be hesitant about taking the older brother. Why? Because, sadly to say, today when a person is not a shomer Torah mitzvahs, it's not only that he's lacking in practice, but in many cases he's lacking also in belief. And being that a level of kavana, like we learned in that kufhei yesterday or 2 days ago, is required, he must be cognizant of the fact that with this pu'ula of chlitza he is actually effecting. He's mostly passive, but he has to be aware. If he's sleeping and she's choylitz his foot, she does not become mutaris l'shuk. It's not a kosher l'chlitza. Sorry, he's sleeping. I said she's sleeping. If he's sleeping and she's choylitz his foot, it's no good. So he has to be aware. Like I said, many people who aren't themselves shomer Torah mitzvahs, they just look at it maybe, rachmona litzlan, as a pagan ritual of some sort. We're not convinced that they actually have kavana. A colleague of mine was once by Ramesha Feinstein where he did a chalitza for, and that the yavim was an shomer Torah mitzvah, and he started it off with a speech, a small speech explaining to the person, this may seem foreign to you, you're not familiar with this, but it is in fact a mitzvah nitayir, and with what you're doing you are actually severing the connection that is between the two of you because of the fact that your brother died without leaving children, and be aware of that. And he did it. And this is what we do. If there is no other brother, just the brother that's an Ein Shomer Torah Mitzvah, of course we'll go with him. But if the brother who's not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, we're not comfortable, the Rabbanim, this is within the purview of each individual case. It's decided one by one. I myself asked Rabbi Asher this, and he told me, it's Nishvichtik, the question is not if he's a Shomer Torah Mitzvah, the question is still a Gleif. Does he believe? That's the crux of the issue. Does he believe enough that there is therefore Kavanah? So that's a case which comes up where there are several brothers, some, like we said, different levels of mitzvah observance, there they might go with a younger brother. Believe it or not, some paiskim hold that if one of the older brother, for instance, is married, and the younger one is not, the Tshuva in Ritva and the Beis Shmuel Paskin is like this, we will go with the younger brother. Why? So this is interesting. Comes up several times in Yavam, this Anan Chalitza Mu'ula Bo'inan. We want a strong Chalitza. What does it mean, a strong chalitza? Lamashal. A chayv elavin vasei, where we won't want you to do the yibum, so the chalitza is a weaker chalitza. Right? The din is, if it's ein oyle l'yibum b'chlal, it's ein oyle l'chalitza. Right? So here, today, there us Ashkenazim especially, we have a chayim to Rabbeinu Gershon. So if this married brother would want to be miyavim, there would be an issue with Chadrag. Is there Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom Mokim Yivim? Is there not? Would we allow him to marry two wives? So on the side that we wouldn't, that means that his Yibum would be problematic. So his Chlitza is weaker. On that level, it's a Chlitza which is a weaker Chlitza because he didn't have the full option of being Miyabim. Some Achrayim, the Shmuel, and there's a lot of Shudas in the Achrayim, who will say that if I have two brothers, okay, he's the older one. But here I have a stronger chalitza. It's a chalitza where the full option of Yibam was there. Go with the younger brother. That's another case. Another case would be if the Yavam himself is blind. We want him to see the right. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that a summa, a summa that's chalitza, the chalitza is sheira. It's mashma that it's not a lechatchila de chalitza. So it's again a parallel case. I can make a chalitza which is going to be kosher, but it's not lechatchila. I would rather go with the other brother. Who is not a summa, because his chalitza is a chalitza lechatchila. The chalitza of a summa is chalitza osek sheira. Another case. The most shchiyachtig case, however, is a case where the older brother is an eater. A lefty, in this case. We learned that Cholz of the smile, if you will chayes the wrong foot, the left foot, Ishna the Gemara in this parrot, the chlitz is psula. Okay. Smoil and yamin in Shas isn't what we call a righty and a lefty. Yamin means the stronger, let's say, hand, and smoil means the weaker hand. That's why a lefty is called in Lashon HaGemara, Lashon HaPoskim, Yumin Didei is Smoil Shel Ha'olam. His right foot. Okay? So, with this Hakdama, let's think. The Mishnah in Bechayrus tells us that there's such a thing called a righty, Beyad and Beregel. A person can be a righty or a lefty. I understand those who play football, soccer, are familiar with this. I understand that even medically there's even eyes and ears which are stronger by every person. That cannot never equal. Okay. So a person who's a lefty in his foot, so let him make chalitza on his left foot. Let's say the older brother is a lefty. Why would I not use him? Why is that a reason not to use him? He has a right foot. So his right foot is what I would call a left foot. The answer is because there's a big mavucha in the Rishonim if the din iter applies to chalitza. There are four shittas in the Rishonim what a lefty in his foot should do. Some Rishonim all them, like smack, tur. Should he be chalitza the right foot? Should he be chalitza the left foot? Both, that's the third shita. Or the Ramban holds ein lo yumin. The Ramban holds an iter is ein lo takon. Holds of the smoil, and as opposed to by a hand, where we say, big deal, whatever his smoil is, and whatever his yamin is, that's what's keveh. The Ramban holds, and the Rashba brings it, that holds of iter is ein lo takon. Ein lo yumin. Okay, for whatever reason, it's obviously beyond the scope of this year, but lechatchila, we are choshit ledas haRamban. And therefore, if we have two brothers, the older one, a lefty, the younger one, what we call a righty, in his foot, we will go with the younger brother, in order to be choshit ledas haRamban. If there's no option, we're makel, and we go ahead. If he's the only brother, we will in fact use him. I had once a case where there wasn't another brother, but he was abroad and he wasn't willing to come back to be chaylitz, so we went with the brother who was an eater, even though there was another brother. So there are cases, maybe if we'll have time we'll discuss a little bit more what you do with as an eater. Just two points have to be remembered. Number one, it's not muhrach, it's not definite, the correlation in eater yad and eater regel. We have to check directly if he's an eater regel. The Rashi and Bechayrus gives us the way to check is by seeing when you put him with both feet against the wall, back against the wall, and he starts to walk, which foot does he start with first? This created a problem. What problem did it create? Especially never after World War II, when there were a lot of chalitzas which the Rabbanim have to make because of all the concentration camp survivors. They all had similar to what's called a military background. Left. Right? You always start with your left foot. So there's a precedent already. The first that I know talks about is the Beis Shlomo as a tshuva 100 years ago, 150 years ago, and that he said that anybody with a military background, that proof falls by the wayside. Doesn't count. Because he's oikar smoil chila, but he's not a lefty. I mean, all of these things are not, that's not what makes you a lefty. It's not what we call in Lashon Gemara siba, it's not the reason why, it's just a synonym, it's a proof that you're a lefty. But if I know that the reason is because Nebuchadnezzar, he went through the camps, there's a tshuva in Kinyan Torah, he says most of them are lefties. Doesn't make sense, it can't be. So we then look for other things, how they get up on a chair. There are other proofs, secondary proofs, which have to be used in such a situation. But as a general rule, a person without a military background, so the kimat absolute proof, and that's considered conclusive, is if he, which regel, which foot he's oiker first, and that decides if he is a eater or not. He's not neman pashtis. He's not believed because, you know, if chalitza is a davish of erva, which means to aiden, so he on himself wouldn't be neman to tell us, but we have to actually sort of like fool him, distract him, and try to come to our conclusions if he's a lefty or he's not a lefty. Okay? If we're already discussing ether, so we'll just finish off by saying that, like I said, the minig is that we do, when we have an ether, we do it on both feet. We do both the right foot and the left foot. But a difficulty arises. In the third paragraph, we learned that there's a principle called chalitza psula. Let's say you already made a maimer or a get on one of the yevamos, and then you chalitz her. So there's a weakness in the zika of the woman that you're being chaylitz, or the brother to hear it given the get. His zika is a weaker zika. So the din is chalitza psula, sarich chizur al kol ha'achim. We have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Yehuda was nifter. Now there's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuven does a chalitza, which we're going to brand as a chalitza psula. Shimon and Levi now have to be chaylitz also. She's stuck. You can't be matter until they did chizur al kol ha'achim. So there's a mavucha in the Rishonim. Is that din chalitza psula, sarich chizur al kol ha'achim, only said over there in the third tarik where there was a chasarn in the zika of the chaylitz? Or was it said across the board, anywhere in Yevamos, where the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, chlitzasa psula, even if it's because of, for lack of a better word, because of a technical problem in the chlitza. She was reikik before he took off the, before the actual chlitza sanal. The Gemara calls that a chlitza psula. Or our case, chalta b'smoil, what does the Mishnah say? Chlitzasa psula. It doesn't say eino chlitza, it says chlitzasa psula. So does that also need chizur? Machlekes Rishonim. Lechatchila, we try to avoid a chalitza psula. So generally, it's no problem. What, let's say here, the shoe is a shoe of the right foot by an average chalitza. So we'll put it on the right foot. When is she going to ever take off his left foot first? That it should be chalitza b'smol. That it should be a chalitza psula. But in this case, where we are doing a chalitza of both shoes, so let's say we're going to do first yamin. So why are we doing afterwards smol? Because maybe Wachaishar Rashidis Harishainim, that Yamin is no good, because Yamin the day is really what we call his left. So then which foot did we actually be chaylitz? We call it the right foot, but in Lashon Gemara, what is it called? The left foot. So it's a chaltz of the smile, it's a chaltz of psula. So Bishleim, if the case is where there is no other brother, which is going to be most cases of a chalitza's eater, because like we just said, generally when there's an eater, we will be mevater, we'll give up on the mile of mitzvah begodl in order to go with the non-eater. But let's say there is another brother, like the case that we had, we mentioned where the other brother wasn't interested in coming from abroad to do the chalitza. So now what did I gain? I did a chalitza, but it could be it's a chalitza psula. I did yamin first. I did smile first. I did the right foot first, but in lahalocha it might be smile. So because an act, the formula for chalitza's eater, it's a separate seder, chalitza's eater is that we tell the yavam and the yavama, you're being chalitz this foot now, but have kavana for chalitza only if in fact the din requires that this foot is the one that requires the chalitza. But if in fact it's the other foot, then be mechaven not to be matir. The mechaven neutral, just ma'ase koif ba'alma, just like they do in the shoe store, just taking off somebody's shoe. That's it. Don't be mechaven at all. Hashem chalitza Hashem to be matir her, because of this problem that you're creating. You're going into the potential problem of chalitza psula. And then you do the other foot, and with that we're chaylitz both feet. I am not going to go in 3 months. All of you will ask me when you get the Ksubas Daf Ayin Dalet. You'll ask me that the Gemara says that chalitza is something which is less of the tnai. You cannot hang a condition on chalitza. So it's beyond the scope of this year, but that's the Hachra Paiskim, that you do it with this nusach of the tnai, in order to avoid the chash of chalitza psula. Okay. The Yavam has to be a godoil, he has to be an adult. One of the sad cases is where a couple gets married and the husband dies and he leaves behind a brother who is not yet bar mitzvah. So she is zokuk to Yavam Koton, but he in fact cannot be chaylitz, like we learned in Daf Kuf Dalet. So this is one of the sad cases where she has to wait until he actually becomes a bar yibum or bar chlitza, and at that point she can be chaylitz. Another case where chalitza is proscribed, is not practical, is if in fact he doesn't have a foot. Rahman al-Islam, if there's a fellow who's missing one foot. So this is also a big machlokes Rishonim. We learned it. The chalitza has to be min har kuvo ulamato, which is a question, which means the knee, the ankle, where. So this you'll find sometimes in tshuva is a question where a person limps and he has problems with his feet. Is he good? Is his walking good enough for him to be chayletz or not? We'll leave that also. In Daf Kuf Beis we learned that the pasuk says v'cholso na aloi me'al ragloi v'loi and not me'al de me'al. Can't be not from on top of his foot. That's the reason why we don't. The Yochum doesn't wear a sock. He just wears the shoe itself. Chabad that we didn't bring the actual shoe of the chalitza here. If he would have brought, we could have shown it. It's generally what it is. It looks like a sandal, and it is worn directly on the bare foot without a sock, so that we shouldn't have a problem of me'al de me'al. A question arises in the poskim: what happens if he has a bandage on part of his foot? Which part is ma'akiv? Generally speaking, the ikar is the heel. The heel of the foot is what's kevah. Okay, let's continue the Seder Achlitza. The day before, the Rabbonim send to the Yevama, and they remind her that we'll do the Achlitza early in the morning, first thing in the morning, but she shouldn't eat or drink. Why? She doesn't eat or drink until after the Achlitza is performed. Why? Because the last Gemara in the Parak says that it could create a problem, heyois, that we need that the roik should be not mixed with anything else. So if she eats shum or gargushta, food which will cause to be mixed in with the roik, it won't be pure roik. Even roik more of bedam, the Gemara talks about. So as a precaution, we tell her not to eat anything, not to drink anything. So there, in fact, sometimes when chalitzas are done, sometimes the woman is nisragish and the dayanim actually take a break before the actual kikah to tell her to calm down, in order that she should be able to actually spit, even though it's, you know, it's only a few hours the fasting, but you know it is there together with the getting excited, so that problem could be there. Okay, we said before that you need kavana. Kofei de Gemara says you need kavana l'shem mitzvah. You need kavana. We didn't say what the kavana is. Mar says, if you fool her, if you tell her chaloitza b'kacha t'koimsa, it's not acceptable. What exactly is the kavana of chalitza? So here there's a Chuvin Chacham Svi, and it's a discussion in a lot of the G'dayli Achroinim. Is it, when we say you have to be mechaven l'shem chalitza, do you mean you have to be mechaven for the mitzvah that there is in the chalitza? Similarly, that you're mechaven b'shas krishma, you're mechaven b'shas m'tek lulav? Or is it just to be, like I said, to be aware of the fact that there's a zikah, there's a connection between the two, excuse me, and you're mechaven to pater that zikah, to sever that bond. These pu'ulais that are there, be aware of the fact that they are actually severing the bond. The nusach in the Maram is not l'shem mitzvah. However, some achrayim do add on that you should be mechaven l'shem mitzvah. We tell her again to be mechaven that with what they're doing, you will patter and sever the connection that there was between them. L'poitra ba'oiso chalitza, he's telling her again, be mechaven that you be matir the yavam yourself l'shuk with what you're doing, and we tell the yavam also to be mechaven like this. The connection is gone. They come into Beis Din. We are noyig, even though the Mishnah says that even if he was chaylitz now she'inu shaloi, it's a good chalitza. We are noyig to be makna the shoe to the yavam, and they put it on. He walks with his dalet amas to show that it's a shoe which he can in fact wear and walk with comfortably. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Amar ameimer ha'yavam tzorich lemid chesei lekare." He has to actually press his heel into the ground. The simple reason is because a shoe is considered a shoe when you're actually wearing it and using it. A shoe protects you from the earth. So we want that the entire heel and foot of the shoe should be found so that she is doing a full ma'aseh chalitza. She is actually taking it completely off the ground. This is again a discussion in the Paiskim. What happens if he can't? He has a problem with his foot and he can't actually press it down on the ground. Is that going to be ma'akev or not? And the hakra is that it's not ma'akev. Then she reads to him a pasuk, which we learned. The pasuk is saying that she's not happy with the fact. She's not happy. She's telling Bezdin, I'm not happy with the fact that he doesn't want to marry me. This pasuk must be said in Lashon HaKodesh. The Mishnah in Saita says, Ve'elu ne'morin v'lashon HaKodesh, and it's l'ikuva. Even if she doesn't understand the Lashon HaKodesh, that's not ma'akev. The Rabbanim will beforehand explain to her that that's what this pasuk means. It means, and they explain to him also, that's what it means. But there's no translations allowed here. It's not like Krishna. It must be said, Bedavka in Lashon HaKodesh, and she reads it for him. Bezdin reads it word for word for her. Okay. Then he answers that I'm not interested. Lo chafasti lekachto. I'm not interested. Then Bezdin tells him again to be passive. Now, why is it crucial for him to be passive in all that's going on? Like we learned in this perek, Hare the shoe is on his foot and also tied around. We learned that if she is matir, the sharin, and he then pulls off the foot himself, pulls off the shoe himself, it's going to again create a problem of chalitza psula. So the Rabbanim tell him to be passive, and he is. Then what she does is the following. She then unties the shoe, and she lifts his foot off the ground. Why does she lift his foot off the ground? Practically, she won't be able to take off the heel if it's not lifted off the ground. But we want her to lift it. You know why? Because in many cases, the shoe, it's a generic shoe. It's not made to order exactly to size. Sometimes after the ritzuas were taken off, if he'll lift the foot off the ground, the heel will itself fall off. It's not tight. It's going to be a problem of hitira, he unlocked the cholatzhu. He actually took the shoe off by picking up his foot off the ground. So therefore, she actually picks the foot off the ground. Usually the heel doesn't fall off, but even if it does, it doesn't bother us. Because the heel fell off, okay, so that was the chalitza. That itself was the kosher chalitza. Then she pulls off the rest of the shoe. And at that point, the chalitza is, what's the ikuva, is over. Because the rekika is not ma'akev. But at that point, she then gathers spit, and she spits. Who has to see the spit? The dayanim, la'inei ha-dayanim. Some sidrei chalitza say that he should also see the spit, but it's in front of the yavam where the dayanim can see it onto the ground. And then she says, such, like we said, such an embarrassment is to a person, kochei yosaleish, such is done to a person, asher lo yivne es beis achiv, who will not build his brother's house, which was what his ikar responsibility is. At that point, she's over. Interestingly enough, and with this point I would like to end also, we would end with the last line that the dayanim say when at the end, after the chalitza process is over, after they tell her that she's muteris l'shuk, she can marry whoever she wants. We'll finish with Einav Sicha. Like we said, every chalitza has in it a certain sadness to it. There's a neshama of somebody who left the world unfulfilled in a certain sense. We would rather this shouldn't happen. So the dayanim end by saying, we are mispalel that it should happen again, that daughters of Israel should come loyli de chalitza, loyli de. On that note, I think we'll also end this year. Thank you.